Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm all on my own. In this regular video series, I round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, me? It's the Full Force Weekly. Hello, everybody. Right, so lots to kind of get through. First off, obviously, Pat is absent today, unfortunately. Poor Pat. He is actually having to do something at work, so he's dragged in on a Saturday. And I have to ask you to come in on a Saturday and then again on Sunday. So he's going to do something rubbish for work, unfortunately. So you just got me today to go through the week's news, or 3 weeks' news. It's been a long time since we did a weekly. Going back a couple of weeks, obviously, I was traveling to Missouri. We were stopping off at the folks, and then I was going to go ahead to Assembly Required. That all went through, went to plan, as it were. So that was all great. Obviously, I'll save all that to the end for the shout outs, but it was a great time. And then on the way back, we just happened to be traveling on the way back as well. I didn't really plan ahead as much as I should have done. But to be honest, it's the nature of the weekly is news based, and I wouldn't have like the time or the opportunity to compile everything together to actually put anything out, because editing just a show like this takes like most of the day in terms of editing. I'm talking like 8-9 hours or something stupid like that, and I'm fast, but my software can sometimes be very slow. So obviously we do the lives because they're a little bit easier. Do you know what I mean? They're like on me, like I don't have to edit as much or at all. Well, I do have to do some editing, and it does take me a few hours for all the little news burst videos and stuff. So I tried to give you guys as much content as possible. So I've been doing a lot of those deep dives. Hope you've been enjoying those deep dives on the name only reveals. I've been enjoying putting them together, actually. So I'll keep doing that until we're kind of caught up, basically. And then the news burst extra will probably be more like kind of like the news bursts as you used to know them. So news burst extras will be where I put like a little videos together where the news isn't necessarily, we don't need to do a live about it. Do you know what I mean? All of that stuff will be kind of going forward. And the weekly should be normal as well going forward. Obviously, like I said, Pat's not here today. You haven't had Pat now for 3 weeks in a row. How does that feel? Horrible, I'd imagine. He'll be back next week. If all goes well, I'll just say, which it should do. And and we'll get back to normal on the weekly. We're going to be recording the next monthly next week as well at some point. And I've got an interesting, I can't say the details of it, but I've got an interesting thing I'm doing with Hasbro next week. Obviously, I'll post it when I post it. I still don't know the full details, but it is very interesting, and it relates to the comic. So I'll be putting that out next week, I think, or whenever Hasbro allow me to put it out. But we're recording it next week. That's all I can say on it. But yeah, interesting nonetheless. Thanks to everyone in the comments. There's loads of you so far. Great to see everyone in here. There's so many. Thank you so much for jumping on, guys. Really appreciate it. Yes, RKW, slacker Pat. We'll call Pat a slacker. No, he's anything but. He's working his butt off right now. Hello, everybody. Matthew says, 3 weeks. Hope you had some fun and good family time. It was great, actually, Matthew. It was really good. I'm actually feeling a little bit worse for wear today, actually. I'll do it on the shout outs. We'll catch up with all that later. But yes, thank you very much. It was a great time. James Smith says, welcome back and thank you for taking last Saturday off. I was getting married and wouldn't have joined you. Congratulations, James. That's awesome news. And I'm glad that we could not be around also to facilitate in you not missing anything that weekend. That's brilliant. Hello, Mom. Love you. That's two hearts for me today. Or are they two hearts for the absent Pat? I'm just going to say they're mine. Love you, Mom. And Dad as well. Big shout out to Dad, who is still recovering from his surgery. And love you very much, Dad. And we'll have to speak this weekend, definitely. We'll do a Zoom this weekend, either later today or tomorrow. Probably tomorrow, actually, the way things are going. But yeah, we'll do that, definitely. Oh, Matt O'Brien with the super chat. You crazy guy. Hey, brother, happy Saturday to you and all these fine double Fers. One of my best friends is getting married tomorrow. Everyone's getting married. And I was hoping you could wish him and his fiancée, Emma, congratulations. Absolutely. What's his name, Matt? You'll have to do another super chat. I'm joking. So yeah, congratulations then to Matt's best friend and Emma for getting married. Josh, thank you, Matt. Big shout out to Josh and Emma. Congratulations on your matrimony. and I wish you all the best in the future. All our love from the full force. How's that, Matt? Does that work? Full marriage. Brilliant. Full nuptials. Tyler says, yes, please keep up the character deep dives. Very enjoyable. It should be an ongoing series as they continue to announce figures. That was my plan, Tyler, on that one. Yeah. Kind of like it was an idea to do this new news burst extra thing, like shorter little bursty things. And I've kind of got half an eye. Well, I've got one eye, I'll say, not half an eye. That the half, it wouldn't be very good visual there, would it? I've got an eye on doing, I had an eye on doing like these extras as like small. Oh, sorry. I have an eye on doing TikTok as well. So I'm possibly thinking about doing TikTok for the show. I know it, like all of the boomers are just like, why? it should be me as well, shouldn't it? Really? But no, obviously, I was thinking doing like a TikTok kind of platform for the show, and then doing some of those news burst extras, but in like those kind of formats. So like little bursts of information. And doing it like that. So this is kind of like almost like going back a little bit rather than, do you know what I mean? Like kind of going back to how we used to do things in the news bursts. But anyway, yes, thank you very much. I will keep those going. Ryan Costello, Pat's not here. Now we wait for the dirty bots to arrive, 100%. Okay. Right then. Dad says hi as well, does he, Mum? Brilliant. Hi, Dad. Love you. Love you all. Love the fam. Right then, let's get on with the news, because actually we've got an absolute buttload of stuff to discuss. So we'll start with an absolute product avalanche recently. You get nothing for months and then it's an absolute tsunami of product in a short time. A lot of classified product and some O-ring have been flooding mailboxes for the past few weeks, with Tiger Force Duke and Ram, the Sarge, Serpentor, Dusty, Zarana, and we are even seeing the latest retro-carded Snake Eyes and Crimson Guard in hand before getting a sniff of Zartan and Storm Shadow. The O-Ring Stinger and the Transformers collaborative Bumblebee Awestriker with Stalker have also started shipping too. It doesn't rain, it pours. We've also seen Outback and the Python Patrol appearing for some people who didn't get their orders cancelled at the store that will not be named. Damn, I even got my Selfie Series figure a few days ago, so everything is coming up Milhouse. Absolutely. if people don't understand that reference, then you're watching the wrong show here, basically. But yes, it's been absolutely crazy. We have been getting product left, right, and center, mainly center of the mailbox. And it was an element of expectation here, because there was almost that backlog, wasn't there, of like shipping delays and over and over and over again, like more issues and things like, you pre-order something and then a year later you're still waiting for it, and then Target started cancelling orders without prompt, or people were being asked every day to kind of like confirm delays, sometimes multiple times a day. I know Pat sent me a message that showed two delay confirmations in a day, I believe. So yeah, it's been kind of a bit hectic and a bit bonkers, and then all of a sudden it's like the floodgates open. And everything starts flying in. And it's like, this is, you know, on one hand, it's really good. On the other hand, if you're in like the pre-order scenario, and you're like hoping to spread some of the cost out, and they're like charging your card as the product's being shipped and stuff, then yeah, I can imagine it gets really, really difficult on the wallet in like inside a month, for example. So I feel like a lot of people have probably been, you know, hit hard in a month. Again, like I'm just happy that it's coming in. Like Tiger Force, Duke, and Ram. Obviously, I can't really count this because it was a couple of months back already now. But Kamakura and the Blue Ninjas, Snake Eyes and Timber, Serpentor's coming. I just got a message. I posted it on the socials, but Serpentor is coming today for me. Very excited. Dr. Mindbender was another one actually that's coming in, but I already had him. So I know a lot of people have been getting those email confirmations as well. Obviously, the Outback and the Python Patrol thing has been kind of insane. And then new stuff, really new stuff. The Sarge, Zorana, I didn't know it was you, and Dusty as well, like just out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden we start seeing videos for like reviews on the carded retro Snake Eyes and the Crimson Guard. I don't recall seeing Zartan and Storm Shadow yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm pretty sure those two were definitely before Snake Eyes and Crimson Guard. Anyway, interesting, all over the place, and it's just an absolute mayhem. But at least now, it's happy mayhem. It's like, yes, it's crazy, but we're getting all of our stuff. So yeah, I couldn't be happier. I'm really excited for Serpentor. Should be here, I would imagine, on Monday. I imagine Monday. I don't think it'll be today. I only got the email last night, I believe. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I would be very impressed if it came today, and also very excited. And an unboxing would be happening very soon afterwards. Anyway, yeah, that's another good point, actually, Robert H. Just wish we had the option to pay when we first made the pre-orders. It would be better for everyone's budgets. That's actually really true. Like, you could say, like, okay, I'm going to pay up front for like 4 of these 8 pre-orders. And then at least that gives you, like, you know, I can afford this right now, and these ones I'll pay when it comes. That would be a really good idea, actually. I wonder if obviously it gets a little bit muddied and complicated when, you know, maybe cancellations are made, or when, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the legal ramifications of that is, because I know that some people will take pre-order money from the off to help with the production, smaller companies, for example, and then bigger companies like Hasbro will wait till it's basically getting delivered, and then they charge you for it and then release the product, basically. So anyway, yeah, that's a good shout though, Robert. That would be a good option, and maybe that will happen in the future now that this kind of trend has started becoming more of a thing. Pre-orders have always been a thing, but they've never been this insane, have they? I don't remember having the amount of pre-orders on order that I've ever had in my life, and like right now, it's just insane. Oh, come on, Cobra Commander, those that I can't read. Does that help, Renegade Biker? There you go, I've said it now. I'm just saving them as Christmas presents for myself, says Christoph Black. That's a great idea. That is a great idea. And then you wrap them up in a certain wrapping paper we'll be talking about later on in the show. And yeah, you've got your own kind of little Christmas going on. Great. Sean says, passed on the Sky Striker, only doing classified to stay on some type of budget. Same, actually, Sean. Completely the same on that one. I will say that we've also been getting O-ring product, haven't we? So, and again, we'll come to the HasLab Sky Striker a little bit later in the show. But the Stinger has been shipping. The Bumblebee or Striker with Stalker is also kind of like actually in people's hands now, which is great. So it's getting there. I feel like after this like bump, now that we've got a lot of product out, I wonder if it starts getting a little bit like catching up with itself a little bit more, because I know they've delayed or they've pushed a lot of product forward into 2023 to give that space for this to kind of arrive, and then we'll start moving on again, I think, with more reveals and so on and so forth. And then obviously more pre-orders to stack up, because, you know, who doesn't want more of those? It's been interesting, hasn't it? Like, I wonder how this will play out in the future, like I said before, because I wonder if they'll notice these trends and then, like, rejig the way things are done in order to kind of, like, you know, alleviate some of that pressure for the consumer. Anyway, Anyway, I'll work on it, Renegade Biker. Sorry, he wants me to do an impression. I'll work on it. Right, okay, so GeoJo Product Avalanche, that's the first news story of the week. And it's just been great. Keep it coming is all I say. The next news item relates to RPGs and deck building games. Yes, it is Renegade Game Studios news. Renegade Game Studios revealed the dates for their upcoming RenegadeCon virtual event during the week. The online show will be on the 3rd and 4th of February next year, which falls on a Friday and Saturday. In the past, we have seen a number of G.I. Joe product reveals, figure painting videos, and interviews with creators, writers, and artists behind the RPG and deck building games. No more details at this time, but expect a full schedule very soon, which would give us even more information of what to expect come February. We will keep you updated on the socials in the meantime. Yes, we will. Renegade Con Virtual. I do enjoy this event, actually. It's one that I do kind of keep an eye out for because I like to see what new stuff they're going to come out with, new games, new deck building kind of stuff. And it's always kind of fun to kind of like to watch it as well. Like the painting video from Daddy Louie is always really interesting as well, really fun to watch. And yeah, they just, you know, they put on a really good show. So February 3rd and 4th, 2023. Link in the description if you want to go and like kind of, you know, make sure you've saved the date, as it were. And that's pretty much it. There's no other information yet, but like I said, they usually have product reveals, and I imagine we'll have more information about a lot of this stuff. And I know that as well, Mission Critical is on its way. I just got an email about, I think it was yesterday or the day before, saying that now it's too late to change your address. So if you didn't get it changed, it's going to that address. So Mission Critical, I'm really excited for. Again, excited to see what Renegade Con Virtual has in store. Again, with some shout out to Ryan Costello, who is a friend of the show and also heavy in the kind of game creation of the G.I. Joe brand for Renegade Con for Renegade Game Studios. Really excited as well to get stuck in. And we've got lined up in my personal life. This is a little game of the RPG that I want to kind of get involved with a few friends. We're just working out a good time to start that. So it's been too long. Like I don't have enough time to spare on playing these games, and I'm going to try really forcefully try to make some space in my schedule to actually enjoy myself a little bit rather than just work. Anyway, Renegade Con Virtual, like I said, as soon as we get more information, and they'll be doing a schedule lineup as well, so we'll jump on it and we'll tell you exactly what to expect. Got a few more comments come through, so I'll cover those a little bit first. What we got going on? Sean says, I'm happy for the catch-up. Hopefully 2023 will have a more standard release schedule. I feel like it will be definitely on a schedule. But who knows, it might not be anything that we're used to. So it might be one of those things where they have to kind of like, this is now the procedure. This is now the process. And this is the time between the reveal and the actual figure in hand kind of thing. So as long as they minimize that window somewhat, I don't have a problem with it. Because eventually the idea was just before COVID hit, actually, you could see they were going on this kind of like, the plan was at least pre-order or reveal, pre-order, delivery, and then around pre-order, another reveal, pre-order, delivery. So you get this staggered thing where you're eventually, after like three reveals, you're getting product delivered in hand, like on a regular basis each time. And it's just obviously initially, usually it's the problem, isn't it? The beginning is the issue. Where if, you know, you've got to get to that point first, so there's going to be a longer lead time. But once you get in that, like, that kind of, that rhythm, it's like, you know, smooth then. Then COVID hits, and you could see the plan of action they had, and that just went out the window. I remember, like, that first year with Classified, I just remember it being like, oh, and now we've got this random Cobra Commander. Oh, and now PDD, and now this, and now that, and it was like one figure here, and like five here, and then one here, and then one over here, and then two here, and then three. All of a sudden, it was just like, yeah, we're just getting you what we can at this point. it was an absolute nightmare. And I didn't really care at the time that much because obviously we were in a pandemic. There were more things to be worried about. And on top of that, they were getting us little bits and pieces here and there. But yes, yeah, Sean, 100%. Hopefully we get a more standard release schedule in 2023. And I believe as long as nothing else kicks off, which I say that and it probably will, and I'm sure it will, you can't, you know, life finds a way, as a man on a fantastic movie once said. At least the Yanks can stop complaining about getting Tiger Force out back. I think some of them can still complain, honestly, because they did get cancelled. Target Man. Target Man is a term we use in football / soccer for a guy up front who you can like loft the ball to and find to bring it down and then distribute to other runners coming off him. There you go. A little bit of tactics for you. A little soccer tactics for you. Jim Smith says, I wasn't sure about the crossovers, but after Megatron and B, I want so many more. Jim, I'm with you on that. Megatron won me over immediately. I thought that was so much fun. Chonky as heck. Brilliant. Like the only, obviously there are like, there are cons in there as well as the pros. Like the, you know, the, I think he works better kibble wise with that thing on his back so that the Baroness can ride him a little bit in the back, Kitty said. But like, I think that works better than say the Ore Striker in that scenario. Because I think the kind of framework of the Ore Striker is a little bit clunky on the back. But that said, that Megatron, again, like the transformation was a little bit tough and I could not follow it very well on the, I really couldn't follow it on the instructions. But yeah, love both of them. They're a lot of fun and I can't wait for more. And Jim, I can tell you, there will be at least one more coming. So can't wait to see that. Anyway, and obviously I can't say what it is, but obviously I can hint at these things, can I? Can't I? Anyway, Viper Scout says, I love my Mega Hiss and Bumble Striker. I have them by my chair and can't stop transforming and posing them. Do you know what, Viper Scout? I really, really enjoy transforming Bumblebee because that one is like, there's a natural progression to it. And also when you get it into that vehicle mode, it took me a while to get the hiss nice and tight. Do you know what I mean? But it does. And when it is locked in properly, you cannot budget. You cannot shift it. You can budget. Everyone should be budgeting. But yeah, it's amazing. Amazing stuff. So yeah, I'm really... But when that Ore Striker is in vehicle mode as well, beautiful. Love them. And the O-rings are fun too, actually. Yeah, big time. Ryan, not a problem, bud. Thanks for the shout out and spreading the word, he says, about Renegade Virtual. Renegade Con Virtual. Looking forward to seeing you on that one again, Ryan. You're like famous now. Well, you have been. I'm not what we're talking about. But anyway, yeah, really excited to see what you guys have planned for February the 3rd and 4th. And yeah, we will keep promoting and we'll keep talking about it. Absolutely. Okay. Right then. Oh, Ray, that's a good point, Ray. Was there a reason the Ore Striker was Bumblebee and not Hound, B being more popular? Yeah, effectively it's icons meeting icons and it's difficult when you've got... I think I spoke about this a little bit. I don't know the official reasoning behind it, but I do know that in the situation they're in with the crossover, you're looking at trying to get an iconic vehicle and an iconic figure. And Hound is actually already connected to the Vamp, isn't he? So I would... very likely expect Hound as a vamp a little bit further along after you get over that kind of core character stage. Excuse me. So I think, you know, you can expect more iconic vehicles and iconic characters being fused together, even if they don't necessarily naturally fit. Bumblebee and the Ore Striker didn't really go together very comfortably. Beachcomber and the Ore Striker or the Eco Striker goes together comfortably, but Beachcomber isn't a known character on the commercial side, you know, in the popularity stakes. We love him as Transformers fans, and I would love to see a Beachcomber Eco Striker, and I expect we will at some point in the future. But I think with Hound, he's attached to the Vamp. So I've got a feeling they've probably got the Hound and the Vamp in the bag further down the line, which I'd be really happy for, because I used to love the Transformers game, which I don't have on here anymore. But like when I got the G.I. Joe Hound crossover vamp, I was really excited. Anyway, that's probably why, Ray, because they're trying to combine two icons of the game. Okay then. Jesus says, hello, are they going to have some crossover on the board game? We don't know, actually. That might be something that they talk about at this Renegade Con Virtual. It might be more complicated to do that as a licensee. I always forget which one it is. So, you know, they're utilizing the license from the Hasbro brands. I don't know. I'm sure it's just a case of discussing it and talking it and pitching it to Hasbro, but we don't know. And I'm not sure if that's something that's on the cards, but that would be kind of fun, actually. I'd be into that. And I'm sure Ryan has a little bit more information about that, but I probably can't say. And that's totally cool. Punk with toys. I will never transform that Megatron or Bumblebee again. They are robots forever now. I was kind of feeling that way until I had to do a photo shoot of Bumblebee and I had to transform Megatron back again. I'm like, oh, really? Do I have to? Yes, I did. But it was worth it in the end for some fun images. Vibe Scout B is definitely more popular. Also, Beachcomber would make more sense. Exactly. That's a good point, actually. The Bumblebee scaling with Megatron was really, really awesome and a really nice surprise. I didn't expect it because the boxes are the same size. So I was expecting Bumblebee to be the same size as Megatron, not really thinking about the logistics between what an Aura Striker and a Hiss Tank look like, because I'm an idiot. But anyway, I'm really happy they scaled him to, you know, with that. So that makes a lot of sense. And it's like the smallest Joe vehicle in a sense, isn't it? It's not like he could be a recon sled or a blimmin', I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like he has to kind of be something that works in that size. And I would suggest Hound is a little bit bigger anyway, so the vamp makes more sense for him in the future. Starscream is Firebat, Prime is a Havoc. Both of those would be amazing. Amazing. But anyway, yeah. Oh, Metroplex Tactical Battle Platform, Diecast Nick, you genius. Yeah, that would be really cool, actually. Very cool. I'd take that. Yeah, because obviously the color works well, because he's like white and red. And yeah, so that would make a lot of sense being the Tactical Battle Platform. Oh, big time. Can we make that happen? I'll speak to them and see what they say. Fort Max Mobile Command Center. I like these ideas, guys. These are great. Anyway, let's move on because we're actually technically talking about Renegade Con Virtual here. So anyway, that's the Renegade Con Virtual news. Let's move on to the next news item, which is Classified Book 2. Yes, the second G.I. Joe Classified book by Kelly Scovron has revealed the title and release date and even has a pre-order up on Amazon right now. The next young adult novel will be titled Revenge of the Ninja and is currently slated for a July the 11th, 2023 release. As I mentioned before, you can pre-order the second book, link in the description below. The first book was actually pretty engaging, and I'm genuinely looking forward to the next installment, even if it's not aimed at my target demographic. That's right, I'm more of an old adult, despite what my dress sense tells you. So I've been told. So Classified Book 2, Rwenge of the Ninwa. I am excited. I'm not going to lie, I really enjoyed that first book. Does that tell you more about where my mindset is, like how mature or immature I am? I don't know, but I really enjoyed it and thought that it was a really interesting take on, you know, it bears no resemblance to anything that's going on, not even in the actual Classified universe, oddly enough. I imagine things will like make more sense as it kind of continues, but in terms of like the differences in age of some of the characters, I do look at the Classified shelf and kind of go, well, they're either not in the same time frame, these two particular characters at the moment, or, you know, we're looking a little bit further into the future. Anyway, it was really, for those that haven't read it, it's actually, I couldn't put it down, honestly. I just started reading it. And I think it's just because it was G.I. Joe related. So therefore, like, I'm finding a lot to enjoy from it. But it's Kelly Scovron's work is really good as well. The actual writing's really engaging, really fun. So yeah, big fan and really excited to see that book two is coming in July of 2023. So I'll be getting a pre-order in for that one. Did anyone else read it? Interesting to know what your thoughts are, honestly. Because like I said, it's fun and it's kind of like interesting as like almost like a what if scenario. Again, it does, you know, I mean, the amount of different continuities there are for G.I. Joe, it doesn't necessarily have to, you know, fit the same narrative each time. So it's interesting to see it in this different way, aimed again, like I said, at young adults, or actually probably a bit younger. But it skews, well, actually, I would say it skews young, but then there are things in it that I was really surprised. I was like, whoa, like that's the adult part of the young adult right there. So yeah, interesting stuff. Anyway, that's coming out, like I said, July 11th, 2023. And you can go and pre-order that in the link below. And that's pretty much all I need to say on that. Revenge of the Ninja makes sense if you've read the book, I guess. Yeah, it should do. And if you haven't, you'll just have to read both. I believe there is a trilogy. I believe there's a book three, and that'll probably be coming out next July. Sorry, the following 2024. So I believe there's a trilogy of these. It might actually be more. Diana Davis would probably remember, but she's probably not on the call right on the show right now. Not a problem. Anyway, that is Classified Book 2. And that's pretty much all you need to know about that. Now, the next bit of news is not surprising, but also a little bit of a shock at the same time. But again, when you dig into it, it makes a lot of sense. And that is that Hasbro decided to shift a segment of their E1 acquisition. In what was probably the least surprising but still shocking news story of the week, Hasbro decided to put its Entertainment One TV and film unit up for sale. This has been on the cards ever since the last Investor Day back in early October, when it came out that the acquisition of E1 had not been a fully successful one. COVID certainly had a part to play in that, but it's no surprise that the new CEO, Chris Cox, wants to put more of a focus into digital gaming. Now, even though they are selling this part of E1, it doesn't mean we won't see branded content going forward. Chris Cox stated the following in a statement. Following our recent Investor Day, where we introduced our new branded entertainment strategy, Blueprint 2.0, we realised inbound interest from several parties for the point of the E1 television and film business that, while valuable, is not core to our go-forward strategy. This interest informed our decision to explore a sale process. As we execute Blueprint 2.0 with a focus on strategic investment in key franchise brands like Dungeons & Dragons, Peppa Pig, and Transformers, we plan to expand our entertainment offerings across scripted TV, digital shorts, and blockbuster films. We look forward to delighting audiences of all ages as we focus on delivering truly market-leading Hasbro IP-related entertainment. As I mentioned before, it wasn't a surprise to hear that Hasbro would be doing this, especially when the E1 acquisition has been more of a drag than a positive so far. Obviously, COVID was the main disruptor for that, but now that the company has a different focus, I would imagine we start seeing more digital gaming content in the future, which does bode well for that Snake Eyes video game. Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of stuff to unpack here, basically. When I first saw this pop up and it kind of started making the rounds in the week, it was one of those heavily kind of like clickbait, or not necessarily clickbait, but it didn't really tell the entire story in like the headline. So it's one of those ones you kind of have to read into and go, oh, I see what's happening. They're literally shifting stuff that isn't branded content of their own. So they're just getting rid of that aspect of the TV and film from E1 that doesn't really have anything to do with Hasbro. It was just effectively in their possession. And they were going to hopefully make money off having it as part of the, like, in a similar way that they got rid of the music division. Like, they just, you know, it's kind of like a similar thing to that. This doesn't actually, like, it's not like they're going to then get rid of, then there's not going to be any animation, there's not going to be any this, that, and the other. It's just that they're kind of switching focus, and they won't be utilizing this aspect of their E1 acquisition. So at the end of the day, it's not like the craziest, like, shocking or like, oh, what's happening kind of news. It's like, it kind of just makes sense for them to do so. And the fact that they're also, I will say, when I recorded that video at the beginning, I felt rough as a bag of badgers. I was very, not feeling very good. So there's a free, if you were watching carefully, I was, when I was reading out the quote, I got two words completely wrong and I couldn't be bothered to change it. I was just like, you know what? People won't mind. They can read and they don't have to listen to me saying it. So for those just listening to this episode, I apologize. I'm not going to tell you what words they are. You're going to have to work that out yourself. Anyway, so I think them selling that aspect just makes like sense, financial sense. It wasn't really doing anything for them. And honestly, I don't see them. I don't think they should be flooding all of their resources into doing their own media when they can just do it with other companies. They can just do it with other partnerships. Like they've already signed another deal with Paramount. Not saying that's good or bad. You know, the time will tell. But like, I don't know. I think with this, it's just a case of them shifting some unwanted, unnecessary aspects of the acquisition and getting, you know, some money back for it. $4 billion in cash it cost them, E1. Isn't that crazy? Ugh. Just buy something, Hasbro, buy something of mine. Because you pay out of the nose for stuff. It's crazy. Raw Talk Real Deal says, mark my words, Hasbro will be absorbed by Disney. Do you know what's funny? That has been on the cards for so long, but I think it's more likely, sooner rather than later, Raw Talk. Yeah, I could see that happening. I could see it happening. But we'll see. I think there's like that element of them wanting to collaborate, but be like in a, you know, have their own thing kind of situation. We'll see. I would also add to this, excuse me, there was also a bit of news that came out a couple of weeks ago, actually, we didn't necessarily cover because obviously we didn't have a weekly at the time, about Hasbro. And I think the Bank of America did like a deep dive into their Magic the Gathering situation. And they were basically saying that they might be, they were overproducing cards for Magic the Gathering and kind of like removing some of its value. So that was quite an interesting kind of story as well. So I think Hasbro are kind of making these moves, but then they have to kind of wind their neck in a little bit. I think there's going to be a lot of moving and shifting going on in the next couple of months, especially with Magic the Gathering and with their E1 stuff too. I can see a lot of stuff getting shifted on. And also with the Magic the Gathering thing, I kind of agreed with it. It was like, yeah, they do seem to be overproducing a lot of stuff. And that's the thing though, isn't it? Like Hasbro are definitely one of those companies that they see something like doing really well and it's like, right, we plow more into it. But then it goes to that point where there is a balance point. There is like a tipping point. And you could just keep doing what's being, you know, successful, or you could kind of push it a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. And then it gets to the point where you kind of tips over the edge a little bit. So that's that information. I wouldn't say that. I won't even touch that with a 10-foot barge pole, unfortunately. Okay, right then. So that is Hasbro to sell E1 TV and film unit. Let's move on to a bit more interesting. I mean, that's interesting, but for us, interesting. Trick or Treat Studios news. Trick or Treat Studios have finally dropped pre-orders for their official G.I. Joe Cobra Commander helmet, designed by Olaf Hartvigsen. The helmet comes in at $99.99 and is set to start shipping on February 27th next year. The helmet features a magnetic removable mirrored visor and interior foam padding for comfort and excellent visibility. It is approximately 12 inches tall and 30 inches around the outside. If you fancy getting your own chrome dome, then check out the link in the description to pre-order right now. In addition to this, they've also got some awesome vintage-style G.I. Joe wrapping paper designed by Sam First for shipping in December. It's only $11.99 for a roll 30x96 inches, and it's actually pretty cool. I might have to get some just for the damn heck of it. Hell yeah, or heck yeah. It's a good point from Ed here, actually, but before we move on to this. Market saturation is a point you want to come just under. Once you oversaturate, you ruin the intrigue and desire of the brand. I totally agree with that, Ed, 100%. And I think it's obviously easier said than done as well, because you'll get that kind of feedback. And it'll be feedback like, you know, people angry they're not getting their figures. And it's like, right, we need to produce more in the future in order for everyone to kind of like, you know, get involved with this kind of stuff. So if that doesn't happen, you know, like, you know, then overproduce a bit more for the next thing. But those figures for the next thing might not be the figures that were desired as much as the ones that previously were released. So it's difficult. And you would kind of just want to go with numbers and logic, but sometimes that just goes out the window as well. And it's just whatever the feeling is at the time, you know? So yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think market saturation is definitely something you never really want to actually have happen. You just want to kind of just almost get there and then, you know, rein it in. But like I said, easier said than done. Okay, Trick or Treat Studios then. We've got a Cobra Commander helmet again. Now, we reported on this about 10 months ago, I believe it was. Yeah, January, I want to say. January, February. We reported, because it was a reveal, that Trick or Treat Studios were doing the Cobra Commander helmet, and they revealed it on that particular news burst. They didn't reveal it on the news burst, but we reported about it as the reveal. So we knew it was coming, we'd seen it, all that kind of good stuff. The news on this one is that it's the pre-order and is ready, and you can go and actually order it now. I think $99.99, and it's looking to get in February of next year, delivery-wise. So it sounds kind of cool. I'd like to see more images of the magnetic faceplate being removed. I have a model kind of showing it off as well, because I think that would be kind of cool to see how that works, because that was probably the one thing that was missing on the Icon Heroes. Was it Icon Heroes? I think it was. No, it wasn't Icon Heroes. It was Modern Icons. Thank you, brain. The Modern Icons one I really like and think it's fun, but the fact that you can't take the faceplate off. And how cool would it be if you turn it around and it's all like the mechanic? I know it's like almost impossible to do, but just maybe like etched design inside it. Just, I don't know, that would be kind of fun. But there's your Cobra Commander helmet. And like I said, I'd like to see it with the magnetic faceplate off, because I know a lot of people were actually asking about that. They were kind of thinking, hey, it'd be cool to have the magnetic faceplate come off. Then you've got like almost like a Cobra Trooper helmet to a degree. But anyway, awesome. Very cool stuff, and we kind of got plenty of Cobra Commander helmets to play with at this rate now. Also, wrapping paper. This is kind of cute as well. Like, I like the fact they've literally dived into the Hasbro assets folder, and they've just thrown in the artwork and gone like Ripcord, Lady J, Doc, Duke, Shipwreck, Barbecue, Airborne, probably Snake Eyes. I think that's Snake Eyes bottom right. You can just see. I could be wrong. And I can't tell who's that on the far the left of Duke, guys. Can you tell who that is? Maybe Grunt, because Grunt's doing that run, isn't he, usually? I think I'm going to say Grunt, even though it could be anybody. But that's what I'm going with. Anyway, I love this wrapping paper, and I might have to get some just because. Like, just awesome. I wouldn't want to use it, though. That's the thing. Like, maybe I'll get like 12 rolls just so I can use some of it and just have some to keep. Because it's funny how the vintage wrapping paper, my God, I got some Turtles vintage wrapping paper a number of years ago now. And I think that was from Nick's Norwich toy show. He does like a vintage toy show. Hi, honey. Do you want to come up and say hello to everybody? There we go. Sorry, she's missing her mommy. Mommy's out at the moment. And so she's come to kind of see how everything is going. Do you want to say hi to everyone, darling? Yeah. Yeah, you're a good girl. Thank you for my kiss. She's a good girl. Anyway, look, there's people are saying hi, look, already. Thank you, Ed. She's waving back at you. Anyway, there's Phoebes. She's going to join me for a little bit because she's feeling a little bit scared. So she can join me for a little bit. It's all right, darling. You can sit on my lap. Right. Yeah, so the Turtles wrapping paper was at my mate Nick's toy show in Norwich, and it was expensive, but I had to get it because it was incredible. Just, you know, normal, like wrapping paper, still with the plastic stuff over it. A little bit, some of it was like a little bit ripped, like the plastic had come off. But no, like I'm into this stuff. So the fact that, you know, that it's going to be about 30 or 40 years before that gets any kind of value to it. But I really, really think that's awesome. So anyway, that is Trick or Treat Studios. Finally, we've got some pre-orders to go with the product that they... Because they revealed, I want to say in like 2021, they revealed that they had the license. Then early 2022, like February time, we got the Cobra Commander helmet reveal. And now we've finally got pre-orders for the things. So awesome. I'm excited to see what else they kind of come up with. I hope they do come up with more, but you never know. Like, you wonder if like the license may have kind of run out and that they do they re-up it again. So interesting to see. I'd like to see more stuff though, definitely. Oh, everyone's saying hello, darling, to you. She's so sweet. Okay. So next up then, out of interest as well, let me know if you will be picking that Cobra Commander helmet up. And if you've got the Modern Icons one, are you happy with that? Because I'm kind of happy with that. I just want to see how the removable faceplate works based on that Cobra Commander helmet. It looks pretty dope. Anyway, anywho, let's move on to the next story. Jim Smith says, I think Left of Duke is Scarlet. Okay, we'll go with that. We'll go with Scarlet on that one, Jim. Adam says, I'm going to just keep the Modern Icons one. I mean, I'm same. I'm going to keep it. But I'd probably not going to, yeah. I'd like to see someone else get it, and then I'll have a look at it. But it's not like, I don't even wear it. Do you know what I mean? It's up on a display. So if I got another one, it would just be next to the other one, and it would kind of look very similar. I'm not sure if that'd be worth it. Oh, a Destro helmet would be cool, says Jeremy. Absolutely. Both, Andrew. Their display and costume. So the Modern Icons one is the same as well. You can use it for cosplaying. Or you can stick it on the little stand that it comes with. Really pretty, kind of cool Cobra display stand. And the Snake Eyes one comes with the G.I. Joe one. Very nice. Jim's comparing card back art with that. Yeah, I'm going to be doing the same as well when I finish here. Highly articulated. I want a programmable Televiper helmet. That would be amazing. Do you want that as well, honey? Yeah? Good girl. You can't actually see her, what she's doing, but she keeps putting her head up to my face, but my name's in the way. Okay, then. Right. Well, like I said, let's move on to the next news item, and that is in Diamond Select Toys news. Diamond Select Toys have been at it again, dropping yet another G.I. Joe Gallery diorama statue in the form of Storm Shadow. The approximately 11-inch PVC statue works as a comparison piece to the recent Snake Eyes and Timber statue they brought out a while back, which has even seen a Sunbow homage repaint already. The Storm Shadow sculpture, designed by Joe Allard and sculpted by Jorge Santos Souza, uses his original version 1 design in a dynamic pose featuring his classic weapons and a faux throwing star effect. The base of the statue is a snowy scene with some gnarly tree branches to mirror the Snake Eyes scene. The statue is available to pre-order right now, link in the description, for $59.99 and will be shipping around quarter two of 2023. Awesome. So yeah, I actually said comparison piece in that video. Again, I was so sick last night that I just ended up just saying whatever and it was wrong. Kind of Ron Burgundy'd that one a little bit. But yeah, companion piece to the Snake Eyes to the Snake Eyes statue. No RKW, no higher news just yet. I'm pretty sure you say that in every episode. And sometimes it's kind of like the broken clock is right twice a day kind of thing, isn't it? It's like eventually we did have higher news and it was amazing. That was a good day. Twice that happened. Maybe a few more times because there were some other things that happened with the higher stuff. But yeah. Nice little statue again. I like they've gone with the classic design. What more can you say? There's a few kind of cute details in there if you look really closely, like the kind of the stitching on the actual costume looks really cool. Like all of the trim and certain like little details on there that aren't necessarily on the original figure. It's kind of nice touches. But yeah, really cool. Looks nice. Cool dynamic pose. Got all of his classic weapons in there as well. If you look on the back, you got the kind of the classic backpack quiver with all of the kind of weapons attached to it, the Arashikage logo, the bow, the two swords sheaths as well that connect to it. So it's all very nice. You can see the ninja, the shuriken all over the place too. Yeah, really cool. And There it is in full. This is 11 inches tall, I believe, and works, like I said before, well, I didn't say it before, but I will say it now, as a companion piece to the Snake Eyes and Timber statue, both in the winter kind of scenes as well. So, yeah, they look really good together. And what I will say, I also like the kind of ninja star throwing effect as well. That's kind of cool. So he's got letting go of three shuriken and that heading towards probably Timber to, you know, stop Timber from attacking him. And then they're going to clash swords. That's what I would do if I was Storm Shadow. I would throw the ninja stars at Timber. You're not necessarily going to hit Timber because Timber's a ninja in himself. And then obviously focus on Snake Eyes' attack as he comes, as he's going to come down pretty hard with that sword, isn't he? I'd be slipping all over the place. All these ninjas can, like, you know, perfectly move around like icy logs. I would be, if I even on the snow, I'd be slipping over somehow. And of course, yeah, we've got the Snake Eyes one has already got a repaint in the kind of sunbow colors, the purple, and with Timber in all white, which is really nice. But and the snow scene has turned into, they've kind of made it moss basically and grass, haven't they? Which is kind of a bit funny when you look at the actual detailing on it. But I do like the fact that they're repainting these, and it means that we're probably going to get, I think someone's mentioned it already, Jeremy yet has said, need a Satan repaint, but will more likely be a Ninja Ku repaint. Oh, I'm not sure, actually. I think the Red Ninja one would probably be more likely for them to do. Yeah. Or they, you know, I don't know, they'd have to change too many things to do version two. But yeah, I can see them doing a few repaints with this one. Red, black, and there are others, right? I mean, there are loads, but I can't think of them off the top of my head. But I definitely think Satan would be a good one for them to do as a red ninja, almost. In fact, just do him, yeah, as a in the red and call it a red ninja. Done. Anyway. Timber is a ninja and expert rail car operator. Still my favorite thing in the Sunbow series when Shipwreck goes, Timber, take over. And Timber just literally, just as if without missing a beat, just starts like jumping on the rail car and like pumping the handles. I'm just like, that dog, that wolf is incredible. Love Timber so much. Ed says there are a ton of those Snake Eyes statues in stock at Midtown Comics in NYC. I know it's just a matter of time before I grab one. And they're actually quite cheap as well, like at $60. Not bad for an 11-inch statue at all, really. I know they're PVC as well, but not that makes a crazy amount of difference. I might dip into this at some point. I'm not really a statue guy and have said that many, many times in the past. But yeah, that is Diamond Select Toys. Link in the description if you want to pre-order him. $59.99 again. Not a bad price, honestly. The Real American Hero repaint is limited to 500, says Adam. Is that the purple Snake Eyes with the white Timber? Because that's pretty dope if it's that. Because that, I'm pretty sure that wasn't that expensive either. It might have been more expensive. I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't that bad. Robert H., where's Ninja Force Timber with neon orange fur? That is actually a great idea and needs to happen. So I'm with you on that one. And Entertainment Earth has them. Thank you, Renegade Biker. So yeah, get them where you want to get them. They're cool. But yeah, not a crazy statue guy. It's the PX exclusive, Adam. Thank you for the purple one. Thank you very much. Okay, that is DST. And now we'll move on to our last news item of the week, and then I can rest my voice because my throat is sore and I need to relax. But yeah, I'm hustling for you guys. Anyway, it should be quick because we did a whole news burst extra in the week about this, and that's in HasLab Sky Striker her news. Well, would you look at that? We've been waiting on an update for the HasLab Sky Striker for some time now, if you ignore the recent display at SDCC and MCM London, but it looks as though we have a tiny bit of important news.
According to Jedi Jaybird on Twitter, shipping data has identified the special vehicle and multiple figure set hitting US shores already. Now, as cool as that sounds, we still probably have a few months of customs and gobbledygook before Haslabbers start getting their shipping notification emails, but it is good to know that most of the journey has been completed. It's also surprising that we haven't had much in the way of updates on the thing for quite some time. Hopefully we will get some sort of official confirmation regarding next steps very soon. It's also nice to get a little bit of O-ring, well, anything too. It has been a barren wasteland of information regarding the line across the board, so hopefully there can be a re-evaluation following the delivery of this bad boy, and we can finally start getting some awesome figures that might not have featured in O-ring form in the past, or indeed characters who haven't had much joy over the years. We are not necessarily there just yet, but we are getting closer to the danger zone.
Do I always have to do stupid voices? Yes, is the answer to that. A couple of things on this one is we've had a little bit of an update, which is kind of fun. Friend of the show, Matt Paul, posted recently that he got an email from Pulse that like officially confirming that his was, about like a shipping notification, basically. So they're actually going to be coming sooner rather than later. Now, Matt is in the UK, so I think it might be that, you know, they're just first up on the list as it kind of comes through. But I don't think it's going to be very long before we start seeing these. At first, I thought it was going to be a number of months before. Because, I mean, I think the information came from, like, Bill of Lading on certain sites where you can kind of get that public information. And Phoebe wants down now. Okay, darling, I'll pop you down.
It's okay. There you go.
So I was thinking, yeah, if it's getting into port at, like, this point, we've still got a long time before it starts getting actually delivered. But no, it looks like we might be getting them sooner rather than later, which is really interesting and really fun. It's been a while, hasn't it, since we got any information O-ring wise. I'm just going to put Jason's tweet up, Jedi Jaybird. Recent shipping data shows that the Haslab Skystriker has started to arrive in the US. And like I said, I thought it was going to be a much longer period of time based on what usually happens when stuff hits ports and shores and so on and so forth. And lo and behold, it might be sooner than we think, which is incredible. Like I said, it was a long period of time before, you know, like where we didn't really hear anything. We saw them display it a couple of times, but there wasn't like a lot of information necessarily. And almost like when you'd mention O-ring, it's like, we'll talk about that later. So I think they really are pushing it to 2023 so that they can like basically roll it out again, but in this kind of new way. Because I really don't think, you know, two packs every 7 or 8 months is the way to kind of go with a rollout of the line. And I'd like to start seeing them kind of like approach it with a little bit more structure at least, and a little bit more kind of like excitement too, so that like, you know, that would be kind of, you know, and also like from an angle of like interest, I'd like to see characters that we haven't seen. Like obviously the Haslab project was a place in which they could drop a few of these kind of fun, new, interesting kind of characters in there. The Pit Crew, which we didn't actually get at the end, but then, you know, Nightforce Ripcord was a nice touch. Pilot Scarlet was a really nice touch. Wayne Ruthel's awesome as every time, Failsafe. I always forget his name, Failsafe. So yeah, like there was a lot of like interesting characters like drip fed into that Haslab project. But in terms of like the regular rollout, Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow, Duke, Cobra Commander, Cobra Trooper, Cobra Officer, it's like, I don't know, that wasn't like the most enthused rollout of characters and so on and so forth. So I'd love to see characters that haven't had any play, or, you know, like stuff where you've got like new characters, like Dawn and Helix would be perfect to do O-ring figures for, because it's like old meeting new, and then it's something super interesting and fun, and, you know, you've kind of got something immediately there. But if you're doing, because, you know, I don't think there'd be any less popular than getting a couple of blooming, you know, core characters that everyone has had and seen for ever. So yeah, This also, I will say as well, this isn't official news. It's not like Hasbro have released this information. This is just, you know, I would say leak, but it's not. It's public information. But what I mean is they haven't, like, done anything official yet. So in terms of news, we still haven't had anything official, technically. Highly Articulated was just making that point, which is true. Absolutely true. And I would also love to see an update from them. Definitely. Definitely. Okay. So again, I covered this in quite a lot of detail on the, I don't know, what did I call it? Newsburst Extra. So there's not really much else to really dive into. So, and we've done an hour somehow, and I was going to go for under an hour, but here we are. Anyway, we'll move on. But that's a good point, Robert H. Failsafe is like your own personal Ghost Rider. Just can't remember his name. Yeah, or what's his name? That's definitely what's happening, isn't it? Wayne Ruthell has become the new Ghost Rider, 100%. Good shout, Punk with Toys. Billy figure, O-ring. Oh, that'd be dope. Billy and, you know, I don't know. There's loads of characters that you could do. Cool Breeze, I'd love to see in the O-ring line. Love to see a Cool Breeze in the. And I know it's a bit niche, not that niche, but it's an element of niche, because obviously you only had that really that appearance in the comics for a very short period of time before he was spoiler alert. Smiler 67 says, "Is it just me, or do we get more news for/on items that we pre-order, and for items?" I don't know what that means, that last bit. But yeah, I think we do get more news on pre-ordered items, definitely. A lot of the time, because they probably have more information for that stuff. And you don't really know where we are with the line at the moment with O-ring. So I don't know if they probably don't want to release any information because they've got a plan to, you know, drop something on a bigger scale. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? We'll find out soon, I guess. David answers, Bongo the Balloon Bear, please. Yes, please. That'd be hilarious, ridiculous. Also, take the head off and, yeah, you've got candy. I take a Cool Breeze, says Robert H., 100%. Awesome. And Renegade Bikers Tomcat says meow. Ah, thank you. Phoebe says woof back. oh, sorry, Smiler. I'll read that out again. Is it just me, or do we get more news for stuff that we pre-order and less news for HasLab stuff that we've already paid for? Pretty much. I mean, we haven't really heard. Well, also, I don't know necessarily what updates there would be other than, like, it's at the end of production and it's on the water or that kind of, you know, that kind of information. I don't know what else. I know, like, Unicron, though, they had so many updates. It was great. And it was like, we're working on the packaging and now we're working on this. And then there was a factory shot of them painting, you know, some of the aspects of Megatron, of Unicron. And, like, videos of all sorts of cool stuff. I'm surprised we haven't seen things like that, definitely, for the Sky Strike. I agree on that one. yeah, Bongo holding a candy apple and some balloons. This is Super 7 territory. Definitely is. Definitely is. Andrew says, I did manage to snag a TF Outback from Pulse the other day after struggling with the target for so long. Hope that worked out for others too. Yeah, I did see that he went up on, and the Python Patrol figures went up on Hasbro Pulse in stock again, which was great. And I don't think he'll be that difficult to get once he's actually out. I don't know what has taken so long. I have no idea. RKW, who won the color poll? We don't know yet. We don't know. As soon as we do, we will. Well, you'll probably know before we do. You'll probably get emails about it. Jeff says, Zartan's Dreadnought daughter, Zanya. That would be a good one for O-ring. Definitely, Jeff. 100% agree with that. Okay, then. That's all the news this week. Thanks very much for all your comments. I'm not saying we're going to finish right now. We've still got shout-outs to do. But before we get into shout-outs, a little message from me again, I guess.
Hey there, guys. Just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago, I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner slash developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections, really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear, you can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding.
Get to hoarding indeed. Okay, shout outs then. Now, obviously, I don't have my usual co-host with me, so we'll start there with Pat and, of course, Phil, because Phil always gets a shout-out anyway because, you know, because Pat's usually on. So you're going to get double shout-out for the lads at talking at articulated points. And because I always read talking point on that image, and I always start by saying that. That's not the name of the YouTube channel. Brilliant YouTube channel. Really enjoy the videos that they put out. And I'm not just saying that because Pat's a co-host on the show. I really genuinely enjoy those episodes. So if you haven't checked them out, go subscribe, go watch all the videos they've put out already. It's definitely worth it, and full of amazing knowledge and information and lots of interesting aspects too. So yeah, shout out to Pat, who is at work right now, mate. I feel for you. That sucks. Anyway, big shout out to the family in the UK and the USA, of course. Shout out to Mum and Dad in the United Kingdom. Mum was watching earlier. I'm not sure if she still is. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't blame you, Mum, if you've backed out at this point. and also big shout out to Dad as well. Both technically are recovering from crazy surgery and injuries and all sorts this year. You've been in the wars, and I need to come and see you guys ASAP. It's getting busy at the moment. So as soon as we've got over the next hump, I'm going to do like a week or something and come out and see you guys, but we'll speak about that tomorrow. Love you guys very much. And also to my US fam, now obviously Kate, Phoebe and myself traveled to Missouri a couple weeks ago, and we did so because we were then going to go on to Assembly Required. Kate decided to stay back with the family because she hadn't seen them for so long. She wanted to spend more time with her family, and it totally makes sense. So she stayed with Phoebe at the folks. I nipped up to Assembly Required quickly. I say quickly. It was the first day's drive was about 13 hours. And then the next day it was about 7.5, I want to say. And then that to Missouri. So we did a 2-day drive, split it up in a dog-friendly hotel along the way. And then when we got there, the next day, literally the next day, back in the car, and I drove 4 hours to Des Moines. But that was a breeze based on what I'd done the previous 2 days. And then when we got to Assembly Required, I got to Assembly Required, had a great time. I'll talk about that in a sec. Obviously, when I came back, stayed with the family for a week. Great to see everybody. Had so much fun. It was just an absolute pleasure. We celebrate all our birthdays in November. There's a lot of us in the birthday team in the family. So we basically all had like a little segment of like giving gifts and stuff like that, which is really nice. So big shout out to everyone. Love you guys very much. Phoebe did really well in the journey, by the way. Not that anyone really cares, but she did amazing. Let's talk Brian Sauer. And obviously the amazing graphics it does for this show, but also Assembly Required. What an amazing show that was. Absolutely brilliant. Great to see everyone again. There you go. Hanging out with Pat in person for it's been too long, like 3 years, I think. Same with Brian Calvin in that in picture as well. They were the, I think, who did I see first? When I first got there, David Allen. Hello, David. We met for the first time in the foyer when I was checking in. So David was the first person I saw. He was probably in the chat as well. And then I bumped into Joel in the middle of the picture there. I was still wearing my mask at that point. I was being careful because obviously then I ended up going back to Missouri. I don't want to be giving the family loads of, stuff I pick up from Assembly Required. So I managed to get back in one piece, unscathed, nothing, did well. We spent, honestly, the show was incredible. Chris Murray in that image as well, Ben Conway. We've got, who else have we got in there? Dan Kay. Nick, we've got Marco Byrne, we've got Nick Freeland is in the background there somewhere. I think I want to say who else I can't see who else is in there. But anyway, lots. It was great. It was so much fun seeing everyone, meeting loads of new people as well. Shout out to Ritz Murphy, who I met for the first time, who was doing his first con as well for the first time ever. So shout out to Ritz, and also like the whole D Class team, to Sam, to Chris, to who else was there? Pat, obviously. But look, everyone that was doing amazing work there. Shout out to Troy and John, I think it is, from the O-Ring Kickstarter. Someone will tell me in the comments. But their product looked amazing. And they had paintings as well from, I think, Doug Hart, who did them. Just unbelievably cool stuff for the products. So, yeah, really excited to see that one. Why can't I remember what it's called? Wrong with me. Anyway, someone will say in the comments, hopefully. But anyway, saw that longbow. Thank you very much, David. Call sign longbow. Yeah, so that looked really good. Met up with Ron Rudat and Tristan Rudat. Had loads of great conversations with them. They're obviously near us, so we're going to have to meet up with them at some point. So it was really nice chatting with them. Dan Kay, of course, had his Creating G.I. Joe books there. Had a great chat with him during the con. But then also we hung out a little bit afterwards. And you can see us playing the G.I. Joe computer game at Updown. We had so much fun there. Dan, and don't say you didn't, because you know you did. It was a great, great time. So, yeah, I got there. I checked in, hung out with people that night. It was already going on at that time. They were already doing the custom kind of thing with Kobe. The custom class. Why can't I think of words today? Probably because I feel really sick. But so that was, it was cool to see everyone and hang out with people early on. Then I went and had lunch with Pat and Brian, top shot in the top left there. And that was great to hang out with them for a little while. Hooked up with the Skeletron guys, and obviously Ben and Mark and their amazing family and kids and everything. Cash and I want to say Sophia were there, and it was just really nice to see them and hang out with them and have a lot of fun messing around with the RoboSkull for the first time ever, by the way. Absolutely insane. And they were selling those little fingerboards, which was just brilliant as well, which I picked a couple of those up as well. So great, big shout out to Ben and Mark. It was great seeing you guys in real life. This was the first show I'd been to in I think 3 years, so it was a long time coming. Also, massive shout out to Tim Finn, not pictured, but we're going to go and see him tomorrow at Hub Comics. And of course, Talking Joe, he's the co-host of Talking Joe. Now, Tim Finn and I hung out quite a lot and had a great time just chatting, shooting the breeze. And we ended up getting these amazing, because part of the show, giving away these cool things. And obviously, this Yojo Cola. So that is a little koozie look. But look, they did Yojo Cola for the event with a little file card with the ingredients on it. Isn't that gorgeous? And obviously I drank mine quickly. And you get this little koozie with it. It's got AR on one side and Yojo Cola on the other. Now they managed to get the trademark for it. So it would be an official, it would be like an official item that, not illegal basically. And they also did a little, I don't know where they are at the moment, but little 6-inch, six pack of Yojo Cola, and one of the colas comes out so you can hold it they're amazing. It was a great time. I also picked up you can see it in the background actually, but my picture is so small you can't. The G.I. Joe cabinet, which is basically a Fortnite one that they've kind of rejigged with G.I. Joe stickers on it. It's brilliant. It's so much fun. So that was a 6-inch job as well. It was just great. Picked up loads of like fun little merch here and there and everywhere. I didn't go crazy buying things because I think at this point, like there wasn't much I didn't already have, and then there wasn't really stuff grabbing me. So they did have lots of stuff though, like loads of vendors selling amazing wares. But it was just brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. Great seeing people as well. Like met loads of people for the first time actually. It was just a genuinely a great event. And it's a little bit more, I say it's a little bit more intimate. This was the biggest it's ever been. Obviously, Ron Wagner was there as well, doing amazing artwork. Mark II Design was there. Got to meet him for the first time. Obviously, I know Ron Wagner now, and he's just such an absolute gent, such a laugh to chat with and hang out with. Really like Ron. Obviously, Kobe. And I've completely blanked on the name of the AVAX Lab. Thank you. AVAX Lab. Sorry about that, bud. But yeah, again, it was just brilliant seeing everyone. Really awesome seeing everybody. And the Finest as well. It was great hanging out with the Finest and taking most of their pictures, by the way. It's like, Chris, can you just borrow your photo skills? I'm like, yeah. Like 3 hours later, I'm like, God, give me some emotion. Give me some. No, it was brilliant and loads of fun hanging out with those guys as well. Just a brilliant show. There's too many people to kind of name check, honestly. And if I have missed anyone out, it's not on purpose. Skinny Joe Fan. Josh Egerbean was there as well with the After Action Reports. And said Dan Kay, trying to work around the room. Obviously, Travis, Brian Sauer, everyone involved, Dak Nomad, David Mooncraft, everyone involved in the show itself did an absolute amazing job. Have I missed anyone out? Probably have. Hooded Cobra Commander was there as well. Got to see Hooded Cobra Commander and chat with him quickly. And there were loads. James Kavanagh. How did I forget James Kavanagh? Yeah, we hung out, had a good time as well. Obviously, yeah, I've said Ron Rudap, David. Yeah, Ron and Tristan, who I chatted with for hours. It was great. So we're going to be meeting up a little bit later, I think. The stickers that Brian made for me. Yes, Talking Joe. Let's talk about those very quickly before I call it a day. Now, this is adorable. So you know how I've recently been just saying "Stay Fresh, cheese bags" in like the most random sign off ever. It was only just because I recalled the that tweet that went around for a while. Brian made these stickers and gave me a stack of them to hand out for free. Aren't they cute? So it's obviously my Lightfoot cosplay that kind of call out on the left-hand side. And then Stay Fresh Cheese Bag, the full force. Isn't that adorable? So, yeah, I know what our patrons are going to be getting in the mail very soon. I say very soon, as soon as I can get a chance to actually do it. But, yeah, great. That isn't everybody. I said Nick Freeland. That isn't everybody. Obviously, there were more people there. And I apologize if I've missed you out, but I should have written these down and I didn't. So actually, go check out Tim Finn's blog, A Real American Book. He's done a part one, part two, and soon part three on his experience at Assembly Required. And everyone that I've missed will hopefully be on there as well. Lightfoot's feet smell. Yeah, they do, because he hasn't stayed as fresh, has he? Anyway, so yeah, it was a great show. Massive shout out to Brian and everyone that kind of works on that stuff. Just an absolute pleasure of a time at Assembly Required. Maybe next week when we have Pat on, he can talk about his experience as well from the show. But as it is, that is everything. And again, if I've missed anyone out, I feel terrible. But like I said, it just, you know, it's a blink and you'll miss it kind of event, because it's still 2 days, but more than that technically, but it was great. Anyway, then I drove home. Well, I drove to Missouri and then we drove back and it took ages. But next up, big shout out to everyone, all of you guys. Thank you so much for all the comments today, all of the, all of the great support, whether it be in just watching and clicking or providing super chats, looking at you, Matt O'Brien. And also, there was another super chat that I missed. Sorry, Peppermint Oil Capsule. There we go. I didn't miss you out. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. Sarge appeared this week on both Sergeant Slaughter Slaughterhouse YouTube channel and the Slaughter Daughter channel with Kelly Slaughter. Check it out. Thank you very much. There's your plug as well. But thank you so much and really appreciate the super chats. Apologies for making you think that I might have missed it. But there you go. Okay, that is all we have for you today, or I have for you today. Now, there might be a few more unboxings, the way that product's coming in. Should I give you a name-only reveal for the next name-only reveal deep dive? That's kind of like a Inception-style bit of info, isn't it? The next deep dive name-only reveal, I'll probably be working on it a bit later today. Might go out tonight, might go out tomorrow. And that is Classified Firefly, so the second Firefly we'll be doing for the next name-only reveal. So I know I've spoiled it now, but that's what you can expect that next. And there's loads more. Like, what else have we got? There's tons. Obviously, we've got Snow Serpent, Range Vipers, Grunt, Scrap Iron, Snowdrop, Tunnel Rat. There's loads left to talk about. So I won't tell you what's going to be next, but, you know, Firefly coming up next. And hopefully you can enjoy that. Right. I am running out of voice and also have a sore throat. Been sick for ages. Now, Kate got sick when she went home. She caught something off the family. I managed to get away with it completely, get home. And then, a week later, I start getting a little bit of sickness myself, a little sore throat, a little kind of scratchiness here. And yeah, I felt rough last night. I'll check that. I don't think it's the big C. I'm pretty sure it is just because I was also I was in a warehouse when I got back. It was freezing cold. So it's probably just that. I probably just got warehouse lurgy. So anyway, I'll keep you updated. I wearing the mask for Assembly Required worked an absolute treat. But then when I went home to the family, I didn't get anything. And they were all sick. All of them were sick. My immune system's pretty decent. But anyway, that's it. That's it for today. I will leave you to it. Hi. Oh, love you too, Mom. Love you too, and Dad, and the family. I'll call it a day. You know what to do. Expect, like I said, you can expect another name-only deep dive very soon, and then obviously there'll be news bursts, I imagine, and then there'll be other stuff. So, and like I said, there's going to be that interesting Hasbro thing I'm doing next week as well. Interesting and intriguing. I don't even know what I'm doing for it yet, so we'll see how that goes. Right, you know what to do at the end of all these episodes. After three, one, two, three, full force in it. Full force! And of course, stay fresh, cheese bags. Yeah, you know how it goes.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.